Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 2. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. The text that we will consider this evening is verses 13 and 14. 13 and 14, the song of the angels. We'll read this evening the first 20 verses. The word of God at Luke 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We read God's word that far. As I said, the text that we will consider is verses 13 and 14. We'll read those again now. Luke 2, 13 and 14, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the great needs that we have as men and women on this earth is the need for peace. Although it won't take place until the very end, right before Christ returns, nevertheless, it's not surprising that all throughout the world you hear a call for world peace. And that desire becomes all the more intense when there are periods of war and unrest, which obviously are the opposite of peace. And when you find yourself in a state of war and unrest, the condition that you are in is one of misery. Just go to those countries that are absolutely torn apart by war, and you see the condition of the people there, and it's one that is utterly miserable. There's no denying the fact that on a very basic human level, there is a desire and a need for peace. Consider now, though, the relationship that really matters, that's among us as men and women and countries. But consider now the relationship that in the end is the most important, and that is man's relationship to God, your relationship to God. The reality is that each one of us by nature, on account of our sin for which we are completely responsible, are at war with God, enmity against God. And to be in a state of enmity, not to have peace with God, is to be in a condition that is utterly miserable. Miserable beyond anything that can be imagined here on this earth. Why is that the case? That's the case because one who is at war with God because of sin ultimately is not in a war that you want to be in, because it's a war in which God will do what God will do, which is execute His judgment and wrath and condemnation against sin. Each and every one of us sitting here this evening, along with every single person in this world by nature, are in that relationship with God. And that's why when we consider this word this evening, all that it does is lead us to be all the more thankful and to bring all the more praise to God, because by His grace and by His grace alone, He has taken us who were at war with God, and He gives unto us peace. He looks down upon us as His children who have a peaceful relationship with Him. There is no more that gigantic barrier between us and God, but we call Him our God. We call Him our Father. He calls us our children. We have peace with God. Beloved, there's no greater word than that, to hear the gospel of peace. And it's a peace that comes to us only through the one whose birth we celebrate in this week. That's why the angels sang that song that they did, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We're sitting here this evening as the Church of Christ, as those who belong to the covenant of God and therefore have been given this gift of peace by God. And that leads us to be thankful. That leads us to say with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest." But the reality for the children of God at times in their lives, and it may be even the case that that's the case for you right now, that although you are one of God's children, although you have been given the gift of peace, nevertheless, you don't experience it. Nevertheless, you may have it, but you don't have it in a great measure. You have it in a very little measure. Hear this word this evening and be comforted and be encouraged by this word. Because that's what this does to us as we consider this song of the angels. It tells us that each one of us who belong to God have a God who is good. We have a God who loves us. And although we deserve it wholeheartedly to be utterly destroyed because of our sin, yet He looks down upon us and He sent His only begotten Son, who although we deserve that misery, took that misery upon Himself, born in a cattle stall, with our sin upon Him, and suffered all of His life long to give us this gift of peace. Hear this word this evening, believe this word, and be encouraged that our God is a good God who loves us, gives us all of the blessings of salvation, and in particular tonight, the blessing of peace. Let's learn that from this passage of God's Word as we consider the song of the angels, the song of the angels' praise. Noticing in the first place, a song to shepherds. In the second place, peace to men. And then last, glory to God. Song to shepherds, peace to men, and glory to God. The setting of this text brings us to the hill country of Judea, which was somewhere in the outskirts of the city of Bethlehem. There's reason to believe that it's only a little ways away from the little city of Bethlehem. The painting that the Scriptures paint for us, the scene that the Scriptures paint for us, is one in which we find shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. Being a shepherd was not a 9-to-5 job, but it was a 24-hour business. You had to always care for the sheep. Always they needed to be provided for. Always they needed to be fed. Always they needed to be protected. And so here were these shepherds at night caring for their sheep. And it was probably a normal night. They were probably ready to hunker down for the evening, knowing that their sheep are cared for, ready to spend the night in the fields as they watched their sheep. But this was hardly an ordinary night for those shepherds. But understand too that these were no ordinary shepherds. Everything we read about these shepherds indicates to us that these were men of God, that these were men who still desired to worship and to serve the living God. Everything we read about what they did after the angels came to them indicates that these were men of faith. And so we can surmise that on many evenings, those shepherds would lay there in those fields, look into the night sky, and see all of the stars in the dark night sky, and reflect upon God and His Word to His saints. They'd look into the night, they'd see those stars, and they would say, remember the Word of God to Abraham, that promise of God to Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars in the heavens. And these shepherds undoubtedly showed their faith and lived out of their faith by longing for and eagerly waiting for the promised Messiah. Talking amongst one another, reflecting on the Scriptures, seeing the pictures of God in the skies, they probably said to each other time and time again, when will God send the Christ? And that in and of itself is astounding, that they would be asking that question and reflecting upon the promises of God. Because not only when they looked into the night and saw those stars did they see a picture, but that dark night was a picture as well. We find these shepherds at a very dark time in the history of God's people. The 400 years of darkness had just taken place spiritually. The church at that time was in a very dark place. During that 400 years, there were people and families falling away from the truth, no longer desiring to remain faithful to the Word of God, no longer looking as they were called to look for the promised Messiah. But yet here are these shepherds, still faithful to Jehovah God. That's because God is always faithful to His people. God always preserves that remnant who long for Him and long to worship Him. Not much different to today. 400 years of darkness then, and there was that remnant that still looked for the Savior. These shepherds, Joseph, Mary, Anna, Simeon. We don't look for the first coming of Jesus, but the church today looks for the second coming of Jesus. And just as there was a remnant then, you look into the church world today, and there's a remnant now. But by the grace of God, the church is preserved. God is faithful to the church. And He was faithful too, not only in preserving that remnant, but the ultimate manifestation of His faithfulness was the fact that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbeknownst to those shepherds, something had happened prior to that angel coming to them. And what had happened was the well-known story that we just read in Luke chapter 2. The Virgin Mary, conceived of by the Holy Spirit, because there was no room for her in the inn, brought forth in a manger, in a cattle stall, the Lord Jesus Christ, and laid Him in a manger. The Christ, promised to God's people for 4,000 years, had come forth. God was faithful. But now, that word had to be sounded forth. Christ came forth and the world needed to know it. And so God in His providence determined, this is how I am going to send the good news to the world that the Christ is born. The very first thing I'm going to do is tell these shepherds keeping watch over their flock at night that Jesus Christ came forth. And so it began with just one angel appearing to these shepherds. That's what we considered a year ago at Christmas. Fear came upon these men when the glory of this angel shone before them. But then the angel said those well-known words in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then the angel told them what they were to do. Go to Bethlehem, you'll see the sign, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But then, as if one angel proclaiming the greatest message in all of the world was not enough, suddenly, something extraordinary happened. That one angel turned into a multitude of angels, and against the dark black sky, a heavenly host, a multitude of angels shone before these men, and together with one voice they cried out those well-known words of the text, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We call this the song of the angels. There's nothing that specifically says in the text that they sang. But nevertheless, it was with a unified voice that those angels cried out the words of this text. We can call this a song. That's what singing is, in part, coming together with one voice in order to praise God. And what a sight that must have been, and a sound that must have been. The starry night filled with these heavenly hosts crying out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Just by looking at the song generally, the fact that these angels came to these shepherds and said these words, we can learn a few things. Notice in the first place what we have called our attention to quite a few times now in connection with these songs. This was the song in response to the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And after that, after the announcement by the one angel that He came forth in the city of Bethlehem, then they sing this song of praise. This is the response to the glorious event that we celebrate in this week, the birth of Jesus. But what's different here is that this was the response of the angels. So far, we've only considered this in light of men on this earth and what our response to the birth of Jesus is. This text flips it around and gives us the perspective of heaven and the angels. The angels hear the word, the Christ came forth, and the angels' response is, glory and praise to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's striking for a couple of different reasons. In the first place, we need to remember that the angels stand in a different position to Jesus Christ than we do. Our relationship to Jesus, the one born on Christmas morning, is different than the angels' relationship to Jesus. The angels are perfect. The angels are sinless. The angels are not in need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering and death on the cross. We are. They're perfect. In heaven right now, living with God and with Jesus Christ, carrying out perfectly His work. But yet, they hear the announcement, the Christ came forth, And what do the angels do? First of all, out of their love for God, they praise God for this wonderful event. If the angels did that, who don't even need the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more should we, who without Christ, who without His blood, without His suffering, are utterly lost? We learn something even from that in their response to the birth of Jesus. But there's something else that we learn from this passage. The angels, mostly out of their love for God, sing this praise. But the angels stand in a relationship to us as well. The angels do all of the bidding of God on this earth and in our lives. That's our view of the angels. The angels do work for God. They carry out in part the will and purposes of God, even in our own lives. And all of that leads towards our salvation. But everything the angels may do for us are of no avail if this event did not take place. The angels understand what's going on here. The angels know that all of their work, maybe in behalf of God's people, is not for naught, because they know the Christ came forth. He would suffer and He would die for the salvation of all of His people. First of all, out of His love for God, their love for God, but also out of their love for us and their desire to do good for us, the angels, in response to the birth of Jesus, sing this song of praise to God. So we see when we look at this generally, the fact that it's the angels who sing this song of praise to God. But notice in the second place, when we look at this generally, the fact that they sang. We said a moment ago that it doesn't say that specifically, but yet with a unified voice, this praise went forth to God. And that leads us to reflect upon the gift of song. And what a gift that is that God gives to us in order to praise His glorious name. I wrote this sermon on Thursday night, and as I was writing it, I needed a break. I needed to get away from it for a time. And what I did was I went on the internet because I had this on my mind. And I watched some videos of some choirs singing. Our own choir at Covenant, which we know sings beautifully. And then on Saturday morning when I was here, the kids were practicing for the Christmas program on Tuesday. And about an hour into it, I heard it much louder than it had been. I could hear it the whole time, but all of a sudden I heard it very loudly. And I wanted to see it, and you kids probably saw me. I snuck in here and sat down and listened for just a couple of minutes as all of you were up here and with one voice sang praises to God. It was practice, but you were singing praises to God. Doing those two things led me to reflect all the more on what a gift song is. When we come together with one voice and sing praises to our Heavenly Father, we do it every Lord's Day. Together as a church, God is praised wonderfully when together with one voice we sing to His name. Let's make sure that's reflected in the way that we sing. I can't imagine that these angels said this softly, that these angels had their mouths very slightly opened. It came from their hearts. By the way in which they said it, they meant it. And let's let that be reflected in the way that we sing too. Not always getting caught up in what it sounds like, but truly from our hearts, when we sing together, bring praise and glory to His name. You'll see that on Tuesday morning in the Christmas program. It was marvelous. Kids from their hearts praising God in song. God is pleased by that, and God is glorified by that. The content of the song tells us something about heaven and earth. The angels say something about heaven, glory to God in the highest, about God. And then in the second part, they say something about the earth, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. We're going to start by looking at the latter, the content of this song as it relates to what takes place on the earth and what we have on this earth. And it's a word of peace. When the angels sing, on earth peace, goodwill towards men, it's not a reference to peace among one another. The angels are not telling the shepherds that the nation of Israel can be confident that it will be at peace with the Roman nation. And we don't take from this that the United States will be at peace with every other country, and that's what Jesus Christ does. No, it's talking about man's relationship to God. Beloved, we have a great need for this peace. We have that need for this peace because of our sin. Our sin puts us at enmity against God, at war with God. And we understand that. Even though as God's children, we have peace, and He gives us this blessing of salvation. Nevertheless, we understand that sin is what puts this barrier between us and God, making this peaceful relationship possible. Just look at the example of David in the Old Testament. And there he's a pattern for us in our lives at times as well. Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. David felt the heavy hand of God upon him. He had no peace. It was only unrest, misery, when he went on in his sin impenitently. From our own experiences, we understand this whole matter of sin and how sin makes our relationship to God difficult and makes it impossible apart from forgiveness to have peace. We, as sinners, are in need of God's work of peace. And that's why it's such a marvelous work of God through Christ to give us that peace. The angels understand here that what took place in that cattle stall on the outskirts of Bethlehem is what gives us as His children peace. They certainly knew the words of Isaiah 9, verse 6, that the one who would come forth is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the great peacemaker and peace giver. Because when He came forth in a state of misery. He came forth with all of the sins of His people upon Himself. That's why He was born in a cattle stall. He had to suffer. And that suffering began right at His birth. And it continued all the way to the cross. He was miserable so that He could do the work of reconciliation. That's what peace is all about. When there is no peace, two parties are at war with one another. There needs to be reconciliation in what Christ does for us as the suffering servant is be that mediator who goes between us and God and tears down powerfully through His work the barrier of sin so that when God looks down upon us, He does so in His love and favor for us, and we can know that we are at peace with God. There is no greater word of comfort than that. Because there's no greater word of judgment than to know that you are at war with God and that His judgments fall upon you. But to hear this, to hear that Jesus Christ, through His work, gives us peace with God is a most wonderful word of comfort. We're forced from this text to answer the question of for whom is this peace? We have to answer that in light of what the end of the text says, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How are we to understand that second part, goodwill toward men? We can start by saying negatively that it does not mean that the peace is for those who are of a good will. Men who are good in and of themselves, they, by what they can do, have peace. That certainly is not the case. Really, this is an unfortunate translation somewhat. It's not as accurate as it could be. A good way to translate this, and there's good reason to believe that this would be the translation, is this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill. And goodwill there most literally means good pleasure or favor. Peace toward men of good pleasure or of favor. Whose favor? Whose good pleasure? God's. That's the idea, that the peace is for those whom God has His favor upon, those whom He looks down in His pleasure toward. And we know who those people are. And this obviously fits with our understanding of the Reformed faith, which was an understanding of the Scriptures. The peace is not for all men. The peace is for His people. The peace is for the elect. The peace is for those whom Jesus Christ died. But you may ask yourself, how do I know that? Is that for me? Did that one come to the earth, Jesus Christ, with my sin upon Him? You can know that. You must know that. You must believe that by faith, and you can know that because the signs of God's working are in you, the sign that you know yourself as a sinner. Everything we've talked about with respect to the need for peace is in your heart, and you know I'm a failure in and of myself, and that I can't do anything to make my relationship with God right. It has to be outside of me. By God's work, through this one whose birth we celebrate in this week. You can know that by reading the Scriptures and understanding that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that. You know this from the song of the angels. Be comforted by this song of the angels, that our God is a God who cares for all of His children and will never let them go. Hear that word of peace. Sometimes the best thing to do is simply listen to what God tells us in His Word. Simply hear what God says to us about peace through Jesus Christ. Here's a sampling. John 14, verse 27. Jesus' own words on this earth. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame it all. Sin, death, suffering, so that we might have peace. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 14, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that He might reconcile us to God. And just one more. These are five of literally probably hundreds. And Colossians 1, 20 and 21, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That's the word of the angels, Jesus Christ came to this earth as the peace giver to give peace to His people so that we can know that we will not be destroyed by Jehovah God. The text says, "And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." It says that because Jesus Christ came to this earth, God visited us, and God redeemed us by sending Jesus Christ to this earth. We have it while we are on this earth, this peace with God. But certainly what is implied here is that if we have peace with God as we do, so ought we to have peace with one another. If God is gracious to us to have peace with us through Christ, let that be reflected in our relationships with one another. Because just as sin puts that barrier between us and God, that sin puts a barrier between us in our relationships with one another, in our families and with friends and with acquaintances. The gospel is one of peace with God and with one another. And the word to us as a congregation is that if there are those barriers, deal with them. If there's something between you and somebody else in this sanctuary tonight, or a fellow believer, take care of it. God has given us ways to deal with those broken relationships. If God forgives us and makes peace between us and Him, so ought we to do that with one another. And so that's the word to us as a congregation. Peace on earth, peace in the church. Let those barriers of sin be broken down. Let there be forgiveness. And together, we enjoy peace with one another as we enjoy our peace with God. From these songs of Christmas, we learn the fundamental truth that all of the blessings of salvation come to us from Jesus Christ and Him alone. Consider that. Elizabeth, in her words to Mary, the one who is blessed is the one who has faith in Jesus. Mary, we emphasized the mercy of God. Mercy of God that lifts us up only in Jesus. Zacharias, visited, redeemed, redemption, purchased, bought back by Jesus. And now, with this song of the angels, peace only through Jesus. But the angels also say something about what takes place in heaven. They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There's a relationship between that first half and the second half. One of the relationships is simply this, that when we consider the second half, what we've talked about thus far, it leads us to say the first half. He gives us peace. In response, we say glory to God in the highest. We've noticed that from the other songs of Christmas. When we say glory to God in the highest, what we are saying is that God is the one of all beauty. That's what glory is, beauty. And the glory of God is who God is in all of His perfections and all of His works. You consider all that God is, all that God has done, and you see that He is like none other. And you say, let Him be lifted up and exalted. Strikingly, it says, in the highest. There's an implied contrast between God who is in the highest, who is exalted, and we who are mere creatures of this earth. By that, it's emphasizing that everything that we have is from God alone. He is the sovereign one here. He's exalted. We can't do anything as creatures of this earth. But yet God on high, the beautiful God, the all-glorious God, works these blessings of salvation in us. A consideration of the birth of our Savior and the peace that we have in Him leads us to say, glory to God in the highest. That's one relationship. But the second relationship is just as important. From this we see that God is glorified in and through what we read of in the second part of the text. In and through giving peace to His people through the Lord Jesus Christ, God is glorified. That's astounding. Because on the surface, it's so contradictory, it seems. A babe in a manger. Helpless, so it seems, in and of Himself, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The world looks at that and says, foolishness, nonsense. God looks at that and He says, through Him, the one who comes in humility, I am going to lift my name up on high and bring glory to me. That's what the angels are singing here. Jehovah God is most glorified in the sending of this babe in a manger to the salvation of His people in the giving of peace. And who are we that God has been pleased to shine His grace upon us so that we are the instruments that He uses to bring that glory to His name? We don't deserve it. But yet God has been pleased to reveal this gospel to us, to work faith in our hearts, so that we could say concerning that babe in the manger whose birth we celebrate this week, my Lord, my Savior, in Him I have salvation, and only in Him I have peace with God. And that work of God leads the angels to say, glory to God in the highest. Sing from your hearts this song of the angels. Glory and praise to God alone. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt bless this word unto our hearts. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt give us what we stand in need of so that we understand Thy word. We understand who Thou art as the all-glorious God, and we understand and believe what Thou dost do for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us now in this evening with Thy blessing. Care for us in all that we do. For Jesus' sake alone do we pray. Amen.